Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
So, have you ever thought that your dog is just crazy and you'd like to find a way to help the dog calm down? Well, this week on Your Family Dog, that's what we're going to be talking about. Julie recently told me about the funnel of activity, which I will admit I had never heard of. So Julie is going to talk with us about the funnel of activity, which is a way to take your dog from crazy to calm. And I think it's genius. So blow us away.
Okay. Thank you, Colleen. I will blow you away. The funnel of activity was originally introduced to me by Dr. Megan Herron, who's a veterinary animal behaviorist at the OSU Veterinary Hospital. And she was talking about I have shared several clients with her, and she always talks about this inverted triangle, you know, so the points facing down. And I thought about it, and I said, you mean a funnel? And she said, yes. And I said, great, I will do the graphic for you. So the whole idea behind this is that you provide for your dog everything that your dog needs, both mentally and physically, so that he can go from crazy to calm. So you start out with the big stuff. So the idea here is that no matter how much time you have, say you have 20 minutes, you have 30 minutes, you have 40 minutes, it doesn't really matter. However much time you have, you divide it in half to start with. So the example I have on my graphic, which we'll put on the website, is 30 minutes because it divides out very nicely. So for the first half, or the first 15 minutes, you're going to take care of your dog's physical needs. This is a time for big aerobic fun. This is when your dog goes out in the backyard and you throw the ball, or you play chase, or he plays with his, you know, German Shepherd buddy next door. Big aerobic fun, get all the willies out kind of activity. So your dog really gets some exercise. So that's the first thing. You got to take care of the willies. Then the second half of this time, you're going to divide into thirds. For a 30-minute time, it divides out nicely into 5-minute increments. So for the next 5-10 minutes, you're going to do some kind of mental stimulation for your dog. You might go through his training. Maybe you'll teach him a new trick. Maybe you'll just practice, you know, come and target and sit and stay and down and going through all of the mental gymnastics that he does. Or it could be this is another time where you could give him an interactive toy, not a Kong, but one that he actually has to work a little harder with, one that requires him rolling around and figuring out how to get the stuff out, a magic mushroom, a kibble nibble, a Buster cube, something that requires active interaction with the toy that's going to stimulate him mentally. And then after you've had some mental stimulation, such as training, then you're going to give your dog a nice, slow, deep tissue massage. This is not tickling your dog. This is really, you know, getting in there a nice, slow, down the back, rub those shoulders. You know, it's like, oh yeah, man, just a little to the left there. That's great. You know, really that nice tissue massage. So your dog kind of goes, oh, and just kind of settles down. And then when he's all relaxed, you give him a nice, tasty stuffed Kong. So now I've got something that is going to fill me up, but is going to keep me nice and calm. And then your dog should just sort of slip right into being nice and relaxed. Now, the interesting thing about this was the first time I heard Megan describe this, I'm like, huh, that's what I used to do when I pet sat. And I didn't even realize that I was doing it. So I think it's actually a fairly common thing for professionals to do. Because if you take us to when I was pet sitting, I'd meet the dogs and I'd be, oh man, she's here. This is great. So we'd go out and we'd play hard in the yard and we'd get all the willies out. And then we'd come in and we'd do a few things. And then I would pet them and stroke them and talk to them. And then I would give them a nice tasty Kong and I'd leave. And so I think that it's something that actually we tend to do. So it's not,
it's what we do with kids too, in a way, isn't it? I mean, it's a lot of what we do with children where we're like, we're going to get all the energy out and then we're going to use your brain and then we're going to just bring it down and make you feel happy and comfortable and relaxed. And
right.
It's interesting.
It's kind of like what recess is for. You know? And well, my sister, who's an occupational therapist, and she's got a PhD in biocultural anthropology, and she is an expert in pediatric development. And I showed this to her, and she's like, holy cow. I said, yeah, I thought so. She uses an adapted form of this in her therapy sessions.
Did she use it with the pictures of the dogs on it?
Did
you redraw it with children for her, or does she use this adorable one with these dark cartoons on it?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm pretty much assuming that she doesn't probably use the one with dogs. And I didn't do one for her with kids, but I probably should. But
for her birthday.
For her birthday, which is coming up in August. So now I know what
I'm going to
do. Well,
there you go. Now you have an idea and a gift.
That's right.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
I think this is a really genius idea. So let me just recap it.
Okay.
So I have a block of time. And whatever the block of time is, I'm going to divide it in half. And the first half is going to be, let's get the willies out half. Like, we're going to have active fun. So if I have an hour, I'm doing half an hour of active. If I have 10 minutes, I'm doing 5 minutes of active. So then the remaining half, the other half of my time, I'm dividing into thirds.
Yes.
And those thirds are using the brain, some sort of mental, like, think about this kind of puzzle, and then a slow, deep massage, which the slow part, I think, is really important for people to know. That most people, when they're petting their dog, they pet fast and a little bit too rapid arousal kind of stuff, as opposed to, no, chill out, relax. So when you were talking and you were talking about like the strokes down the back, I could just sort of envision my shoulder blades relaxing. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing we're looking for with the dog. And so we've got the mental stimulation and then the slow, deep massage. And then that last little bit is just sort of the cherry on top. Just like, here's your Kong. You can just fade off on your own. So we've given you all the outlet and you're all loosey goosey and melty dog, and here's a Kong and lucky you, chew on that and then you'll just chill out and relax. Have I got that right?
You've got it right. And there are a couple of things that I wanted to add in there. On the slow deep massage, Rudy, who knows Tellington touch, T-touch, that's a really good place for T-touch to be inserted.
Yes.
And then the other thing that I like about relaxing with the stuffed Kong and sort of leaving the dog, like with kids, you want them to learn that they can go to sleep on their own.
Right.
That they can relax on their own and fade away. You've given me everything I need from you. Now I can just do my own thing. And so I think that that's really important, because we've talked about it before, how important it is for a dog to learn how to be on their own, even if their people are in the house. And this is one way in which you can teach that. So the other question I get is that when I talk to clients about this, and I hand them this and I hand them the blog on this, and they go, well, when do I do it? And can I do it more than once?
Now?
Yes.
Now's good.
Yeah. I'm like, any time you need to take your dog from crazed to calm is a good time to do it. And yes, there is no, this is not like a prescription where you can only do it once every 12 hours, right? You can do this as often as you need to take your dog from crazed to calm. But one of the times I usually suggest that they think about doing it is when they know guests are coming over.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you know your guests are going to be there.
Perfect time.
Yes, at 7. At 6 o'clock, we're starting the funnel of activity. And now, we may only devote a half an hour to it, but then by that point, I may have my dog relaxed and asleep on his bed in my room or in his crate or, you know, whatever. Because I think one of the problems that happens when we have parties, we have guests coming over, one of the things that sort of gets shunted by the wayside is the dog. Mm-hmm. And the dog does not get the activity. I know that. I may have to true confessions here. I know I've done it, where I've been so busy trying to get everything ready for the event that I have not taken care of my dog. And then she goes, or he, well, she actually hasn't been ballistic, but I've had other dogs just like, wow, people, yay.
Now yeah, well, and the household in this moment is crazy. So we're saying, like, wouldn't it be great if the dog was calm, but we're busy running around going, ah, clean that up, wipe that, put that in the closet. Don't let anyone see that mess. So giving the dog the outlet first before we have our little frenzy of last minute, oh my goodness, they're on their way.
Right.
Is and, a real valuable thing.
And especially if you can then have them calm down in a separate room, like a bedroom or something. So they're not being wound right back up again as you are doing the last minute preparations. Now, I just suddenly occurred to me, my husband, there was a cartoon several years ago, a Sally Forth cartoon, where they were having somebody over for dinner. And her husband said to her, did you want real help or show help? And she said, show help would be fine. And show help meant I'll light the candles and pour the wine. You know, real help is I'm cleaning the bathroom kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband is great at show help. You know, he's just top notch at show help. And it's not that he can't do real help, but he's just, I'm thinking to myself, this would be real help.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't need you stirring the sauce. I don't really need you checking the roast because I can do all that. But boy, if you could take the dogs out, and I had done that. I had asked him, look, what would be really helpful for me is can you take the dogs out and throw some balls for them? Mm-hmm. So that would be something you could do too, is find somebody who really likes doing this and make them the designated funnel of activity guide.
Yeah.
So
there should be a fun title for that. Like
the funnel master?
The funnel master. There you go. The funnel master.
Well, the other thing I was thinking too is this ties in nicely to things like holidays, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July, birthday parties, any of those things that are going to require that your dog have a certain amount of patience and attention to what's going on. This would be great for that because before Thanksgiving, you know, maybe while the turkey's in the oven and before you have to pull it out and make the gravy, you go out and do this with your dog so that he settles down with a stuffed Kong just about the time you're settling down to eat as well. And your funnel master can make sure that the timing on that is appropriate. So it can be really useful, and it can be really useful too for people who work full-time in the morning, because I said it doesn't have to be an hour. It can be 20 minutes. Can you add an extra 20 minutes in the morning so that when you leave, your dog is settling down with a Kong on his bed as you walk out the door?
And a really nice piece of this, because you are going through the steps with the dog, is you're also a little bit teaching the dog how to self-soothe and how to recognize some of these states. To recognize, oh, I would like to feel calmer, or I would like to feel more relaxed. And it's an interesting thing. If we don't help some dogs get there, they can only be on or off. You know, like busy, 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 sleeping. That's not the same as learning, like, oh, I really love massage, and I can just be calm and relaxed and awake. And so for some of these dogs, the more we do the pieces of the massage and the calm moments, they can then learn to access them on their own. They can get back to that spot. It's doggy meditation, I think.
Yes, I think so. And I do tell people that this is not a rigid formula. This is a guideline. And you need to adapt it according to your dog. Because one of the things, like, for example, my daughter's dog, Tex, after the big aerobic fun, she couldn't go right into training because he was still too woo. So she would do, that's when she did I think it was a Buster Cube or a Kibble Nibble or something. So that Tex didn't go immediately from running to sit stays. He had some activity where he was moving his, you know, chewed or his treat distribution toy around. Then she would do some training. Then she'd do the massage. And then she'd, you know, end up with a Kong. So she shortened the massage and the Kong part and added in another level of, you know, busy with an activity toy, then training. So she had to add in yet another step of calming him down. And that's perfectly reasonable. And this kind of thing I want you to think about, what is it that my dog needs more of? If I'm going to do the big aerobic fun, does that mean I'm going to get him so wound up that it's going to take an extra step to bring him down? And that's only going to require a little bit of experimentation. The other thing is you can pick and choose little parts off of this. If you've had a busy day and your dog's been really busy, but he's still a little wired at night, maybe you don't need to take him out for the big aerobic fun. Maybe all you need to do is put his dinner in a Buster Cube, then do some training, do the slage, and then, you know, a light stuffed Kong. So you can pull out pieces of it according to the time of day or when you need to do it. And you can, you know, edit it as necessary. But it's there as a suggestion about how to take your dog from crazed to calm. And I have found it really does work. And like I said, I realized, I think, because I'm a little dense, I think, it wasn't the first time I heard Megan say this. I think it was the third or fourth time I went, oh, you mean a funnel. And oh, that's what I used to do. It's just kind of, So I,
but it's nice to have it as steps. So even though it is flexible and you can do it different ways, to have it sort of broken out as here's a plan.
Right.
Makes it, yeah, we've all done this and it worked for everyone, but we weren't all doing it intentionally. We were just doing it like this kind of, it works well for this dog, but we weren't consciously thinking, oh, this is why it works well, or this is how it works well. So, but identifying the steps as discrete pieces and looking at how they do actually funnel you from crazy to calm, it's a very valuable tool, I think, for that. I think it's really great.
I really like it, too, because and I also recommend that people try it as I've written it to start with, because you don't know how you need to tweak it till you've actually done it.
Right.
So try it a couple of times, and then you can start going, ah, I had a really hard, like with Tex, we had a really hard time taking him right from playing ball to training. They needed that interim step. So, you know, play with it a little bit first. Try it the way it's written and see if it works. And try varying amounts of time, too. Because you might find that, you know, if I only do this for 20 minutes, it's not quite enough. You might find, gosh, I can't do it for 40 minutes because he's conked out. So, you know, 30 minutes is a great period of time. So, you know, do it once and then once or twice and then start playing with some of the factors and see what really works well for your dog. But I have found
that's really great.
Yeah, and the other thing is you can actually do it inside, too. I mean, you can take your dog out and play ball, but you could do some other kind of aerobic activity inside. You know, maybe you could do the come find me game, which we've talked about, where you hide and your dog has to come find you around the house. So that's a bit of an aerobic activity because I'm running to this room and then I'm running to that room. So on a rainy day, you can still do the funnel of activity. You just have to be creative. And that's sort of combining the first two. That's the big aerobic fun and the mental stimulation because the dog's getting, I have to come and find you. So it can be used both inside and outside, which I also thought was kind of a nice feature. You just need to be a little creative and know what your dog likes and doesn't like. So,
yeah, I think it's terrific. So we'll put links in for your blog post about it with the details. And the image for this episode will be the actual funnel of activity that you've drawn for this, which I think is a really helpful tool. I think it's terrific. And I think we should also put it as a downloadable PDF so people can download that. And that as a tool is great. So starting with it as it's written and then starting to play with the variables to figure out what's right with your dog, right for your dog. Is terrific. So I love your funnel of activity. I'm looking forward to becoming a funnel master.
Well, good. And you are more than welcome to make as many copies as you need and pass it out to your clients as well. It's super. Absolutely there. It's got my copyright on it. The only thing I ask is that if you pass it out, you leave the copyright on it. So,
And that's Julie Fudge Smith at apositiveconnection.com. So if anyone needs to hunt down Julie's information, you can always get it through our website, yourfamilydogpodcast.com. But directly reaching Julie, you can reach her at apositiveconnection.com.
Right.
So thanks for sharing this with us. I think it's really great.
Well, I'm glad you like it. It was a fun one to do, and the drawings are really fun. In fact, some of these drawings are actual cards that I have, and we just sort of did some new ones and then added some other ones in. And I have a great graphic artist who takes my little sketches on the backs of envelopes and actually makes them look like real drawings. So that's always fun too. To make me look like an actual artist when really I'm just a fake. I am just a fake. So
just imagine these in her head and somehow they wound up on paper.
They did.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know how this happens. I just love drawing little dogs. And so I do. Anyway, I think that wraps that up and we will see you next week, Colleen.
Yep. See you then.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.